Let's bow in prayer. Father, that that would be our prayer, that we would desire more from you, from this life that you've given to us in Christ. We would appropriate, Father, all the benefits. I pray, Father, we would start today, not even wait for the new year, but learn this lesson that you've given to us one day at a time, and that you've made every one of them. We are grateful. Oh, Father, help us. We look to you, not for our sake only, but for Jesus' sake. Amen. Turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Of course, everybody knows what this Sunday is. And you know what we do the Sunday before New Year's. Oh, we give the New Year's message. I can't wait for this every year. Those early believers, those Hebrews that believed in that early church, being addressed. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. It's quite a passage of Scripture. Most New Year's messages remind me of the park ranger out in the West talking to some hikers, getting them ready for their hike. He says, you got to be careful out there. We have two kinds of bears. He said, we have brown bears and we have grizzly bears. Now, the brown bears, they don't really want to be involved with human beings. And if they hear you or smell you, they'll just go in the opposite direction. What I tell people so they won't come into contact with a brown bear is to wear little bells on their backpack so that the bear can hear you coming from a great distance and it gives him plenty of time to get out of the way. Now, grizzly bears are different because grizzly bears will tackle you. And they're very dangerous. So you want to be very mindful of a grizzly bear. If you come across some bear scat and you want to just move out of that area as quickly as you can. So the hiker said, well, how can we tell the difference between brown bear scat and grizzly bear scat? Oh, he said, it's easy. The grizzly bear scat will have little bells in it. Okay, you're with me. Half of you are with me. A lot of New Year's messages are like that. It sounds good, but it's not practical. You know all the times over the years, if you're any advanced age at all, that how many times you've messed up your New Year's promises and you have very little faith in the fact that you're going to make them this year and keep them. So why go into all that kind of stuff? And then people give a New Year's message of how great the New Year is going to be. This year maybe was mediocre, but next year is going to be wonderful for you because you're here and you're a Christian, all that kind of thing. It reminds me of Jeremiah giving a New Year's message that the Babylonians are coming and they're going to be destroyed and they're going to be taken away into captivity to Babylon. Now that's a wonderful New Year's message. That gave great hope. But Jeremiah told them that even though there was going to be a struggle, God's promises were still valid and that God's plan for the nation of Israel was still going to be carried out. It might be a bad year, but God is still in control. We need to realize that. They were God's chosen people, but they had refused to listen to what God had to say. And you know, God has special tools that he uses for his people. A mechanic has special tools. They might come out with a car or something, and they put a nut somewhere that you just can't get with a regular wrench, and they design some kind of particular tool to get there to do that. Well, God has a particular tool for nuts. With the nation of Israel, it was the Babylonians. Now, with us, it's not the Babylonians. They've gone off the scene a long time ago, but they were very useful as far as teaching Israel a lesson. Sometimes when things come into our lives, it's because God has a lesson for us, and He has many, many tools that He uses to accomplish that purpose. Corrie Ten Boom made the statement, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." I don't know what's going to happen next year. We have pollsters, and we have pundits, and we have
prognosticators.
Those are people who foretell the future, prophesize about the future. I don't have that gift. I can be way off when it comes to that kind of thing. What's going to happen in the next 365 days? How many of us will still be here 365 days from now? What storm is brewing out there that's going to come into our lives out of nowhere? I don't know. I have an old illustration with a new twist. Now, this is an old illustration, so
don't react by thinking.
You've used that before. Why use that again? Because it's an old illustration, but somebody added something very special to it, so I thought it would be good to give it again. It's about a woman going through life. She said, "First, I was dying to finish high school and start college." You remember that illustration? "And then I was dying to finish college and start working. And then I was dying to marry and have children. And then I was dying for my children to grow old enough for school so I could return to work. And then I was dying to retire. And now I'm dying. But I never had this part of it. I just got this part of it. And suddenly I realize I forgot to live. It's only a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away." My, a lot of people in this coming new year could relate to that. So anyway, I'm thinking about these new year things. A year is 365 days in length. But this year, 2020, is a leap year. Thus, it'll be 366 days long. 2020, another day. Oh, it's going to be a hard year because we've got an extra day. So I was thinking about that. I thought, how many days have I been here? So I went back and looked. I've been here 24,665 days. I've been here 24,665 days. I could be a day or two off, but listen, I'm telling you, when you look at that, it makes you tired. And then I calculate if I live to be 70, I'd be here 25,566 days. 25,566 days. You know how many sunrises that is? Sunsets? That's a lot. But it led me to this. They only came one day at a time. We shouldn't be looking at the next year and I promise I'm going to do this and I'm going to be a better boy this coming year. We shouldn't do that. But now, next Wednesday is the 1st of January. Next Wednesday is the first day of the new year. Promise to be a good boy next Wednesday. Don't look at the whole year. Just one day. Try to make some promises to God for one day. Make some commitments for one day. And then when that comes to a conclusion, work on the new day coming the next day. And that's still a ways away. Don't do the whole year thing. Get away from that. Thing is this, God not only made all those days, but God allowed us to be part of that day. Like old people, I read the obituaries. Just last week, there was a guy, 30 years old. He was in a military uniform. The guy's dead. It wasn't combat related or anything. And I'm thinking, 30 years? That's young, huh? But it's all he had. It's gone. Some of us have a lot more, but some have a lot less. There aren't any guarantees for any of us in those days. But God made them and He put us in it. We're here. We didn't create ourselves. God created us and He put us here. While we're here, we interact with a lot of different people. For some, myself, I made life more palatable. For some, I made life more disgusting. For some, they were glad I was here with them in the journey. And for some, I've been a drag on their progress. For some, they enjoyed life because my part was involved with their part. And for some, they wished I was never born. And that's just the way it is. But I'm here. I'm here. You're here. A lot of stuff happens in our lifetime. We go to school. Teachers teach us. You come into fourth grade and you have to learn multiplication table. It's like, you knew this was coming. Because when you were in the third grade, you heard rumors about that. And you knew that fourth grade teacher was demanding. It wasn't, would you like to learn your multiplication table? No, it wasn't like that at all. You did it or you stayed in the fourth grade until you learned the multiplication table. It's just simple as that. You did that. You went through that through all those years. You had relatives and friends. You had brothers and sisters. You had neighbors. You had some people that didn't like you and all that kind of stuff. You had bullies in the neighborhood. The stuff that life is made up of. We had a teacher, Mr. Dunham, had a master's degree in history, classroom full of kids. He filled the board with stuff. Every once in a while, when stuff was going on in there, I'd lock into him. And I think, that's interesting. That's really interesting. But he was interesting. I liked history. Most people didn't like Mr. Dunham. But I liked history. I went to college, had Dr. Kresslin. And Dr. Kresslin was a history teacher. There'd be probably 30 of us in a classroom at the college in Fort Kent. You could smoke in Dr. Kressel's class. The room was full of smoke. Sometimes he was just, there was a fog there with him up in the podium. Dr. Kressel's class, you could smoke, but you couldn't cough. Oh no, you couldn't cough. If you had to cough, you had to suppress your cough, go out in the hall, cough, and then come back into Dr. Kressel's class. I'm telling you, that's the way it was. But he was good. He knew his history. So that was part of life. I'm just sharing some of my life. You have your life too and all that stuff. So God brought that all your way for a reason. It came out of some strange sources, but it all came for a reason. Places you've been, experiences you've had that's unique just for you. And God created those days just for you. That's really something because God loves you. Had all that. One day piled on top of the next, until next thing you know, it's 24,000 days come and gone. New Year's resolution is just way too much to chew on. Way too much to chew on. Daily growth is the way we've been designed as Christians to handle life. Daily growth. What this day brings. Snowing out there. I looked at the weather forecast yesterday. It was not supposed to snow today. They have satellites and they've got all kinds of mechanisms to tell what's going on in the weather and patterns and stuff all over the world. Every once in a while, the weatherman will say, we're using the European model on this one. I'm thinking the European model. What's wrong with our model? They have a nicer model than we have. I don't know what model they use, but they're wrong. Well, come on now. They didn't create it, did they? God did. You know what God decided? It's going to snow today here. He's right on. God's right on. So you listen to these people to try to get a handle on the future and you find out that the best of them are off. But there's one that's already been there. God. That's already been created. Luke chapter 12 verse 27 goes like this. It's a familiar verse. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Just consider this. The lily, Solomon. The lily, Solomon in all his glory. Oh, Solomon, what pomp and pageantry, huh? What a sight and sound. 1,000 wives. 1,000 wives. When the parade came through with all his wives, it no doubt took an hour. Thousands of horses. 1,000 wives, 1,000 horses. Some would say 2,000 nags at least. I wouldn't say that, but that some would say that. Jesus said, listen, see that lily? Solomon's got nothing on that lily. Don't consider Solomon. Consider that lily. Because Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like that lily. Don't strive to be a Solomon. Strive to be a lily. What do you mean? Well, Solomon, he just wanted stuff and he wanted more and he wanted more and he wanted more. And a lily, well, it's just here and it just grows and it's beautiful. That's all it does. Doesn't even think about it. We think of today in our world, politicians and actors and super pastors that minister to tens of thousands and have huge auditoriums. This is the age in which we live. Business people, all that kind of stuff. People that made a big name for themselves. People like that. They want to get attached to that kind of thing. You know, you have people get converted and they put them in the forefront in some of these places. Crazy. Jesus said, consider this. Consider this. It's not the Solomons of the world. Consider this. It's the lilies. It's the things I just put there and they grow and they're beautiful. How it looks to us and how it looks from God's point of view can be so different. Just grow. Be a lily.
Growth for the lily
came from outside factors.
There are nutrients in the soil. The sun provides the light, energy plants need to change water and carbon dioxide into a sugar called glucose. That is known as photosynthesis.
Just grow. Every day. Every day. That's how it works. It's right there. If you were an inmate at Auschwitz or Sobibor or something, and you knew God, and you knew what the scriptures had to say, you knew you weren't a Solomon, you were just a lily, but you were a lily in Sobibor. And that God put you there. Say the Germans put me here. Well, the person who understands these things, really understands these things, would say, God put me here. I'm not here because of the Germans. I'm here because of God. Paul said that when he was in prison. He didn't say those nasty Romans. No, that's not what he said. He wasn't there because of the Romans. He was there because of God. We studied about Jacob's life. It wasn't because he was a schemer. It was because of God. It wasn't because of Esau. It was because of God. It wasn't because of Laban. It was because of God. It wasn't because of Rachel. It was because of God. It wasn't because he had 12 sons. It was because of God. It was because of God. But God put all those other ingredients in it. Jacob, who became the nation of Israel. Peter puts it like this, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The lily just grew. We're just to grow. How do we do that? Just take it in. Let it work. I don't know how it works. I mean, I say that a little bit, not too much, but I don't know how that all works. But it works. I don't know how a baby becomes a man, you know, or a woman. I don't know how that works, but it works. Grow in grace. So here's grace, just grow in it. What's grace? Unmerited favor. You don't deserve God. You don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve this life. There's nothing you've done to deserve this. But it's there. It's for you. It's been given to you. Just grow in it. You have been chosen before the foundation of the world. You're a Christian? Just grow. There you go. Grow in unmerited favor. Grow in knowledge. And then it says, to him be the glory. To him be the glory. Paul wasn't looking for glory for himself. Our Lord Jesus didn't look for glory for himself. We shouldn't be looking for glory for ourselves. But what we should be doing is glorifying the one who put us here, the one who created us, the one who made us who we are. We should be glorifying him. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Babies, that's the way they're supposed to do it. They're supposed to want milk. Yep, milk's good. They say mother's milk has everything the baby needs. Nothing like it. There was a day when some of the doctors, scientists said, my mother's milk's not good for that kid. We'll make some. Did that for a lot of years. You know what they found out? They couldn't make it like mother could. And the baby needed what mother had. So Peter wrote that. He knew, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, as newborn babes, talking about Christians, desire the pure milk of the Word of God. Desire the Word of God. The older I get in the ministry, the more I realize I need to get people, or try to get people, to read the Word of God. It's much more meaningful by reading it than what I say about it or what somebody wrote about it. You need to read the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God. A lot of preachers today, you listen to them on TV, and very little of their message is about the Word of God. There are very few passages of the Word of God being expounded on. We need the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. You people in Thessalonica, you have a growing faith, and it's abounding, and your love towards each other. Human beings by nature can't stand each other. Have you noticed that? I mean, it's not just on Fox News. It's hard to get people to get along. Marriages, over 50% now, breaking up. People can't get along. Used to be the husband divorced the wife divorced the husband. Now the kids are divorcing the parents. That's where we're at in our society. Well, that's always been like that, probably since Adam and Eve. But listen, can you imagine growing closer? Can you imagine loving each other? The gospel came to Thessalonica, and what that gospel created in Thessalonica was a group of individuals called the church, whereby they grew in their knowledge of God, and they grew in their love towards each other. It's like,
Wow.
Growing. 2 Thessalonians, same book, chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. Grow in grace, grow in knowledge, grow in love, but don't grow weary in well-doing." Don't grow weary. Because, you get tired. Have a 5-hour energy drink. Is that what you need? Have another cup of coffee. Get some exercise. Get the blood circulating. See a shrink. Get 8 hours sleep. I don't know, whatever it takes. But don't grow weary. Don't let your body grow weary in well-doing. Well-doing. Don't grow weary in that, Paul says to them. It's kind of like, I know what you have. Don't lose that by getting tired. Don't do that. Stay focused on doing good. Question, every activity, is it good? Question, every decision, is it good? Question, every move, is it good? Question, every plan, is it a good plan? Is this going to bring me closer to God or farther away from God? Is this going to make me love believers more or love believers less? It's not complicated. And Paul wrote that. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19 says this, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." Talking about, describing the body of believers growing together. What a visual that is. And before that, he said this in verse 18, "Let no one cheat you in that." Let no one cheat you. You need the head. The head is Christ. Everybody wants to lose some weight in the new year, just about everybody. I mean, some of you certainly can because you wouldn't be here next year. But many set a goal to lose 25 pounds. I want to tell you something. There's 25 pounds you can't live without, and that's from the neck up. You lose that 25 pounds, you've had it. Keep your head. That's what the verse is saying. You're not disconnected from the head. You can't be disconnected from the head. The body of Christ has a head. It's Christ. He's the head. And from the head, everything grows together. We're growing together. It's the way God designed it. Joints and ligaments increase, it says. And the verse I just read says, hold fast. Holding fast to the head. Don't let that connection break. You need that connection. The world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. O Lord, I know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, O Lord, what can I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. We're dying, but we're living. We're falling apart, but we're being renewed. We're heading towards death, but we're experiencing new life. It's all those contradictions in life for us as Christians. You ask forgiveness, but they wouldn't give it to you. You lost your temper. You ate too much. You said something unkind about a friend, and you got back to him. You broke a promise, and then you tried to cover it up. It didn't work. You blamed somebody else. You exaggerated to make yourself look good, but everybody knew it, and you didn't look good. You couldn't stop complaining. You neglected to pray. You sinned in secret. Nobody else knew about it, but you knew about it. And you knew it was a sin. You murdered somebody in your mind. You committed adultery in your heart. You were harsh with your children. You broke your vows to God. I see that hand. I see that hand. That's awful. Yeah, it is. Pretty awful. On the other side of the ledger, God's faithful. God's good. God knows what's best. God's quick to forgive. God will never leave us or forsake us. His mercy endures forever. He makes no mistakes. He's working out a plan in our lives. He gave His Holy Spirit to indwell us. He's alive. He's not dead. Someday He's going to return. Isn't that a great thing? That's God. One day at a time. One day at a time.
John Wayne played Davy Crockett in a movie about the Alamo. Some of you don't even know who John Wayne was.
Davy Crockett killed a bear when he was 3 years old. He personally knew each tree in Tennessee. Yeah, some people believe that. They really did. And some people believe when John Wayne played Davy Crockett, he really was Davy Crockett, but he wasn't. He was really John Wayne. It wasn't true. A lot of it wasn't true. Mythology. We grew up with so much mythology, and we had to sift through that. It's kind of all confusing. But anyway, Davy Crockett died at the Alamo. You know how that worked out. They all got killed at the Alamo. But then they got digging through some Mexican records, and they found out that some of them didn't die at the Alamo. They actually surrendered, and Davy Crockett was one of them. But Santa Anna wasn't a nice guy, so he wanted them all dead, so had them executed. So Davy Crockett did die at the Alamo, but it wasn't the way mythology taught us about that. He didn't kill a bear when he was three, and he didn't know all the trees in Tennessee. You have to dig through all that. It's kind of confusing when you're a kid. Even when you're an adult, what about God? Has God lied to us? Has he changed things? No. No, God's true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. That's quite a statement. Why am I bringing that all up? Because we need truth to grow. You got to face the truth if you're really going to grow. We have a dog. The name of our dog is Mississippi because she's from Mississippi. I don't know what happened to the dog. The dog had some bad experiences. And I don't know if she's ever going to get it right. Anyway, we're stuck with the dog. So the TV's on, and we're in the living room, and the dog's there. And the dog likes Paula, doesn't like me. Stuff like that. Anyway, it's messed up our home. So here's the dog, and she's big now. She's about 50 pounds. And TV's on. And on the TV is a German Shepherd, police dog. And the German Shepherd's going for a bad guy on TV in Mississippi. Hair comes up on her back, and she starts moving towards the TV. She's got to tackle that dog on TV. And she's a chicken by nature. I mean, she's afraid of anything that moves. But she sees a German Shepherd on TV, and she's got to take it on. What's that got to do with what I'm talking about? I don't have a clue. No, I do, really. Reality. Reality. We have a hard time with reality. That dog's having a hard time with reality. Christians have a hard time with reality. Who they are, why they're here, where they're going. Christians shouldn't be like that. Should understand that. Hebrews chapter 10. But recall the former days, beginning at verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Partly while you obeyed a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You lost a lot here because you knew you were going to gain a lot there. That's the real deal. You're the real deal. It says people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. We're going home. While we are here, we should act like we're going home. While we're here, we should recognize the fact that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth every day. That's what God would want. Suppose you want to change something about yourself. Like, you'd like to be skinnier. You'd like to be taller. You'd like to be stronger. You'd like to be better looking. Would you change your eye color? Would you change your hair color? Would you change the way your teeth are? Would you change the way your legs are now? How about those belches? I'm getting personal, I know that. But people do that. Look at some of these actors that do the Botox thing, and their lips are like as big as my hands. Who told you to do that? Who did you think you were going to look like? But people are concerned about how they look on the outside. You know what God's concerned about? How we look on the inside. Are we going to be concerned about how we look on the outside, or are we going to be concerned about how we look on the inside? I'll give you a few things. If you had something to change, instead of your hair and your eyes and your teeth and all that, would it be a critical tongue? Would it be a spirit of discontentment? Would it be resentment towards other people? Would it be inability to work with others? Would that be it? Would it be the discouragement that you're always complaining about? Would it be that? Would it be an ungrateful spirit? Just not being grateful. How about an inability to say no? Revelation 12:1. I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first had passed away, and there was no more sea. I saw something new. Talking about new things. How do I do that? Well, here's the answer. Jesus said, Matthew 9:16-17. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. How about that? Instead of hanging on to the old stuff that doesn't work, how about something new? Like this. Wednesday is the first day of the new year. Do it right. Put God first. Pray. Read the Word. Apply the Word. Develop the same kind of burdens that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was here walking in human form. Instead of fixing up the old, try something new. 2020. 2020. Unbelievable. No, it's not unbelievable if you were born 28, you know what I mean? You're 12. It's not a big deal. But 2020, wow. How about something new? 1968, they had the Dodge Charger, muscle car. Old guys like me, they look at that and they say, oh, I'd like to have a 1968 Dodge Charger. Refurbished, you know what I'm saying? Well, I look at that and I say, I wouldn't want a 1968 Dodge Charger. Well, what would you want? I want a 2020 Dodge Charger. I want a 2020 Dodge Charger with 0 miles. A 2020 Dodge Charger, Josh was telling me, 707 horsepower. They can go it up to 800 horsepower. That's what I want. Now, what would people in Eagle Lake say? That'd be different. But would I want a 1968 or would I want a 2020 Dodge Charger? I want a 2020. 1968, carburetor. Would you want that? No. I want something new. Well, here we're coming into a new year. What do you want? Old stuff or new stuff? Jesus came to bring something new. It's new. It's brand new. He made you, as a Christian, a new creation. Old things passed away. All things become new. Don't be putting old stuff into new stuff. It's a brand new thing. We get carried away when we go back to the old stuff instead of the new stuff. Jeremiah 29:11. How do you encourage people who are facing disaster? Here's what he said. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In spite of what goes on out there, how it all evolves, God's still in control of everything. You believe it? You believe God's in control of everything. See, people say, well, this happened and that happened and this doesn't look good and what about that and all that. So it's the world we live in. But in that, all that chaos, God has a plan he's working out. And he wants you, as a Christian, to be part of that plan. In 2020. Give you the opportunity, 2020. Because it'll pass. And if you just look back at it, it's not good. Look forward. Look forward to the next day that God has placed here for you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. And we thank you, Father, for the purity of it. It's given us life. It's given us hope. It's given us courage and strength. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who overcame all those things that would destroy us, that we might have this privilege of today. Oh, Father, help us not to forget that. Help us, Father, to love your word. We pray in Jesus' name.